In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, on this day that we celebrate the Transfiguration, which some have called the Summer Pascha, I always have, it's one of my favorite feasts. We always, of course, read about types of the Transfiguration in the Vespers parables. And it's appropriate that we would read about Moses and Elijah, because, of course, they were present in the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor, but also because they experienced theophanies of the Lord that are recorded in the Scripture. And also, of course, they represent the law, that is, Moses representing the law, and Elijah is a primary representative of the prophets. And the Lord being in the presence of Moses and Elijah and them discoursing about his decease, as it says in the Scriptures, in the Gospel, shows that the Lord is both the Lord of the old and the new, and that all of the law and the prophets agrees with him, and he is superior to all because he created all. Now, there are two readings from Exodus. They are about Moses. And then one reading from the book of Kings about Elijah. And they are showing types of transfiguration. Things that happen that are very much like the Transfiguration, pointing to the Transfiguration in the New Testament. And there are parallels in these readings to what happened in the Gospel account. So the first one from Exodus is both of them are regarding when Moses was on Mount Sinai and with the giving of the law. And Moses is on the mountain and the cloud is covering the mountain. And one of our hymns says that whereas before the mount was dark and gloomy, now it is all filled with light. The mountain was a terrible thing to the people. They saw the darkness of the cloud and the brightness and the consuming fire on the top of the mount as if the mountain was being burned up. So it was a period of time when the people were experiencing the judgment of God and the unapproachableness of God or unapproachability of God. And yet Moses was in God's presence. Whereas in the Transfiguration, the cloud, which was also present, this time the cloud was light, so as not to terrify, but instead to teach. There's other parallels. Of course, Moses had to go up and to the Mount Sinai to the top, and the disciples and our Lord went up to the top of Mount Tabor. Nothing can be done in the Christian life without labor. It's just not possible. And also, I mentioned the cloud. Also, Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on the top of the mount. And the Lord actually prayed just before his transfiguration for a long period of time. So this is that first reading showing that the not really talking yet about Moses seeing God, but about how the mountain was terrible and full of fire, and it was a very terrifying thing to the people. Whereas the Transfiguration, although it was terrifying to the apostles, it was not terrifying because of God's judgment as much as they just were not ready yet to be in the presence of God. And that's one of also a major teaching of the Transfiguration is that we must be prepared to be in the presence of God. It doesn't matter if our sins are forgiven or not, if we do not achieve purification with God helping us. To be in the presence of God is to be consumed. So that's the first reading. The second reading is that one where the Lord shows his back parts to Moses. And of course we have other parallels now that come to play. Of course it's the same thing. They're going on Mount Sinai versus Mount Tabor and the journey and the fasting. And in this case now, Moses sees the back parts of God, right? And of course, that is the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I did? I left one of the pieces of paper.
Sometimes that happens. find it. What did I do with it? Just like my filing system at home, I'm always losing things. I literally just had it. Yeah. There it is. Okay. Let's see if there's anything that I wrote on it that's worthwhile for all this looking. So, also, another parallel is that Moses was put in a rock, cleft of a rock, right? Because the presence of God was too much for him. The Lord said, you couldn't see my face and live. And even the brightness of the uncreated light, of course, that's what was being shown. The uncreated light of God was too much for Moses unless the Lord sheltered him and put his hand over him, right? Well, what happened on Mount Tabor? The Lord appeared as each one could endure, right? That's what the Tropar says. Showing thy glory as each one could endure. So he protected the disciples, and still it was a little bit too much for them, right? Because they fell back on their faces because it was just too much. Now, both of these, the appearance on Mount Sinai and the appearance on Mount Horeb, occurred after 40 days of fasting, right? Moses fasted for 40 days on top of the mount, and Elijah fasted and traveled during the fasting to the mountain where he saw those manifestations of nature, but God was not in those things, right? In the wind, right? And in the fire and in the earthquake, he wasn't in those things, but he was in the still small voice. But that was after the 40 days of fasting. 40 days. Is that a number that makes... That rings a bell? We fast for 40 days during the Great Lent. It's not possible to be purified without fasting. It just isn't. Not because fasting is something that is required as a work, but because fasting is necessary because of our constitution, because of human nature. It's all over the scriptures, and it's right there in the theophanies of God that are in the Old Testament. These two occurred after 40 days of fasting. Now the last reading is one of my favorites because it teaches us much about how to live if we want to encounter God. By the way, these readings basically have two main aspects to them. One is that they are types of the transfiguration, so there are parallels, the mountain and the cloud and the voice, right? But also, they are teaching us how to live. The 40 days of fasting before going to the mountains, the fact that Elijah couldn't have heard the still small voice unless he was still, unless he was quiet, unless he was humble, all these great and terrible and powerful things were not where God was present, but he was present when his spirit was calm and when he was humble and when he was quiet. So they're teaching us moral things as well. And also Elijah's journey and Moses' period of time of being away from the people and the rabble for 40 days shows that we must flee the world if we are to see God. That's just the truth. You must fast. You must pray, you must struggle if you are to see God. It's not just about forgiveness. That's what the sectarians believe. But the Christian life is it's about becoming purified with God helping us. And that is our labor joined with God's mercy and with God's grace. So Elijah, right after the prophets of Baal had been killed, Elijah became terrified. After a great and incredible victory, suddenly he felt his humanity very deeply. And he was afraid and ran away. And then after some sustenance, He went 40 days and 40 nights and went to a mountain, and that's where God was manifest to him. This is very important, because God will manifest to our broken human nature. By definition, our human nature is broken, but it will become unbroken because of God's grace. Now, there are parallels in this reading that are not present in, or that are also present in the first two. I forgot to mention there was certainly a voice, right? God was speaking to Moses on the mount, and on Mount Horeb there was a still small voice, and of course there was the voice of the Father in the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And Elijah had to be prepared for this, just as Moses had to be prepared, by the journey and by the fasting and by the period of purification and change, internal change in the soul. So those are a few things, a few parallels. So when we read these beautiful scriptures, they're not just about historical accounts, and they're not just things that say, okay, this is referring to the transfiguration. So what if that's not going to help you? What's going to help you is when you see, this is how I need to live. This is how I encounter God. You encounter God with effort, with ascension into the mountain, with fasting, with prayer, with purification. And then God will come to you according to your abilities. It's not according to you. You can't say, okay, God, I'm ready. God will say, I will make you ready. Put you in the cleft of the rock, put my hand over you, the Lord would say. Or with Elijah, come to him in a way that he could perceive but would not cause him to be undone. Notice that Elijah, when the voice came, what happened? He wrapped his face in his mantle, right? Why? Because being in the presence of God was just overwhelming for him. Same thing happened to the apostles. That's another parallel. So let's look at these readings. When we read them, which is during the year, I would hope, and certainly at the time of transfiguration, and they're read at different times, as moral teachings about how we should live. They're really quite profound. You can't see God without effort. Don't believe that heresy. It's just not possible. The Christian life is perfection. So let's ascend, and let us go towards that goal of being able to be in the presence of the uncreated light of God, which of course transfiguration teaches us will happen. May God bless you and help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.